The lands that David is now winning go back to when Joshua came into the land and they didn't conquer all the land. And now generations later, God is using David to conquer the rest of Israel. We need to remember that. Because in the interim, I'm sure there were some people that said, hey God, I thought you gave us this land from this river to that river. But it took several generations to do this.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today on the program, we have Neil, one of David McGee's assisting pastors, to help share with us.
Bob, great to be here. And, you know, I want to be a man who continues to fight battles, knowing that our battles won't be won overnight. It's a continued fight. Pastor Dave is going to share a little bit about that today.
But, Neil, we want things to happen yesterday. So what's this? They're not going to be won overnight?
Well, that's when we appeal to the culture that says we've got to have something instant. Or we can appeal to the Word of God where it says, hey, we have to stay persistent and blessings come in our persistence in trusting the Lord and following after Him.
Well, let's listen to David McGee as he continues sharing verse by verse through 2 Samuel chapter 8.
So we're looking at the life of David, and we see David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. And, you know, last week we looked at a chapter where David is wanting and desiring a good thing, and that is to build the temple for God. And at first Nathan says, hey, yeah, go for it. And then Nathan has some time with the Lord, and he comes back and he goes, you know what, you're not the guy. You're not the guy. And we learned from the book of Chronicles that one of the reasons, or probably the main reason, was David was a man of war. And God said, I don't want you building a temple. But we're going to see some neat stuff in the chapter tonight, so let's jump in. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. It says, and after this, it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Methamah from the hand of the Philistines. Then he defeated Moab, forcing them down to the ground. He measured them off with a line. With two lines, he measured those to be put to death, and with one full line, those to be kept alive. So the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. David also defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his territory at the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Also, David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 chariots. Verse 5, when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, that's just hard to say, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Now, by now, if you haven't figured this out, David's a warrior. He is a warrior. This is something that he does well, and it's something that he does with a passion. Now, here's what's interesting, too. The lands that David is now winning go back to when Joshua came into the land, and they didn't conquer all the land. And now, generations later, God is using David to conquer the rest of Israel. We need to remember that. Because in the interim, I'm sure there were some people that said, hey, God, I thought you gave us this land from this river to that river. And understand, God gave them to the Euphrates, not just the Jordan. So next time somebody wants to talk about the West Bank, ask them which river. Because we think of the Jordan, everything on this side as being Israel. That's not what the Bible says. All the way to the river Euphrates. Look on a map. It's kind of an interesting thing. So people could have said, well, God, I thought you were giving us this land. But it took several generations to do this. David's a warrior. David's been the one chosen to do that. And he is finishing a battle that, if you will, was started by Joshua. What's the life lesson? Not all battles are won overnight. Not all battles are won overnight. Verse 6, then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went. Now this word preserved, we're going to see this a couple of times. We're going to deal with this later on in the chapter, but I just want you to know. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went. Verse 7, and David took the shields of gold that had belonged to the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. Also from Bittah and from Berotai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took a large amount of bronze. You start to see David collecting these things. Verse 9, when Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, then Toi sent Jeroham, his son to King David to greet him and bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him. From Hadadezer had been at war with Toi. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of bronze. Verse 11, King David also dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated from all the nations which he had subdued. Ah, here's the thing. God knew that he could trust David with these things. He knew he could trust David with this gold and the silver and the bronze, and that David would seek to honor God with these things. He knew he could trust him. Let me ask a question. Can God trust you with the blessings that he's bringing to you now? Every now and again, I'll hear somebody make a statement that is just really so bogus. It goes something like this. You know, if I won the lottery, I'd start tithing. That is such a bogus statement, because you understand what it's really saying? It's saying, God, you know what? I'm not going to give you your due from my, 15, 20, 30,000, whatever figure. I'm not going to give that, but you can't trust me with a little. But God, if you gave me a lot, I would hook you up. It doesn't work like that. Does the Bible say he who has been unfaithful in the small things, I'll give him bigger things? That's not what it says, is it? It says if you're faithful in the small things, then God will bring more things and bless you. David had been faithful in the small things. Now God is bringing all this, and it's no surprise that David is seeking to bless God with these things. Why? Because that's what David did. David wasn't like, oh, I hadn't blessed you in a while. Oh, God, you're bringing me all this silver and bronze and gold. I guess I'll start tithing. I guess I'll start giving. I guess I'll start honoring you with these things. That's not the way it went. David already had a track record of blessing God and honoring God. There's the key right there. So you make that commitment, and he dedicated to the Lord. Now, if you're new here, you're going, oh, okay, another pastor talking about money. I'm not talking about money. Yeah, I'm talking about finances, but I'm a bigger picture. I'm talking about your gifts, your talents, your energies, and all those things. See, here's the thing. If you're not honoring God with those things, you're not going to be getting God's best. That's just the reality. That is the reality. God in Malachi says, you know what, test me in this. It's the only place he says, test me. And he said, I'll pour out the windows of heaven. I will devour, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Here's the life lesson. Be dedicated and give honor to God with your resources. Now notice, be dedicated and give honor to God with your resources. I did not just say money, because here's the thing. A lot of people think, okay, I give 10%, that's all I need to do. That's all I need to do at church. I don't need to do anything else. I don't need to serve. I don't need to pray for the people there. I don't need to pray for pastor. I don't need to do any of that, as long as I give. And some churches may be okay with it, but God's blessed you in so many ways, friend. He's given you a unique combination of talents and giftings and blessings. And if you think that unique combination is just for your enjoyment, you're missing the heart and spirit of Jesus, really. He wants you to honor him with those things so that he in turn blesses you. Because here's the reality. If you're just enjoying your talents and your giftings and your resources and your energies and your passions and yes, your finances, and you're not honoring God, you're going to be miserable. You know what? There is a lot of gifted people in New York and LA and Nashville. There's a lot of gifted, actresses and actors. They are enjoying their gifts and their abilities and their talents. But because they think it's all about them, they're in misery. They're in misery. This is kind of a key, I think, to the life of David. Now, God wants you, don't get me wrong, God wants you to enjoy your giftings and your talents. But he also wants to use them to bless other people. I don't know what each person in here. I don't know what your particular giftings or talents or resources or anything like that are. I just know God wants to use those to bless other people as you honor him. And friend, you'll be blessed. Isn't that cool the way that works? You honor God, God will bless you for honoring him, and other people around you will be blessed. And if you don't do that, then life is going to be empty. It's going to be futile. You're going to be frustrated. And yes, you may be a believer, you may be a Christian, but you're really not following Jesus in that sense. And So we need to understand that. Now, here's the cool thing too. What's David doing with all this stuff? Dedicated these to the Lord. What does it mean, dedicated these to the Lord? What's he going to do with these things? He's going to use them to build the temple. Well, Pastor David, you just told us that God said he wasn't going to build the temple. You're right. He's not going to build the temple. What he's going to do is gather all the things so that Solomon could build the temple. What a man David was. He wanted to build the temple. God said no. No. David wanted to. It was a good thing, but it was not God's best. And yet David has the heart where he gathers all these things so that the one that God has chosen in due season can build the temple. That's convicting, isn't it? Why? Because our attitude, well, it's not always like that. And I understand, you know, when I'm up here teaching, I'm teaching not how I am, how I should be. David was kingdom-minded. If he'd have been self-centered, he'd have taken these things and said, well, God, you know, I was going to build a temple for you. But no, you didn't want me to build a temple. Well, now all of a sudden, I got gold and silver and bronze, God. But I'm not going to use them to build a temple because you tell me I couldn't. There's none of that. Okay, here's the convicting part. What is your emotion or sentiment when God uses somebody else around you in a way that you wanted to be used? Oh, that's painful. It's telling, isn't it? The other day during staff devotions, I was talking, sharing with the staff, and here's something, and you have a staff here that loves you guys, that pray for you guys, and they really seek to serve you. And here's something that we understand, and I make sure that everybody understands. They already understand it, but from time to time, I reiterate it the other day. The only way that this church can have a staff of people that are here is because of y'all. See, if people aren't giving, then people can't be here full time to serve the people. That's the reality. So there's an understanding among the staff that the people that come here are the people that make it, give us the ability to be here to serve you. And may that never be far from the hearts and the minds of the people here. And see, here's the thing. Both parts are important. Just like David having these resources and Solomon building the temple, people bringing in resources and the people serving here, they're both so important. You can't do one without the other. And so what happens? We end up working together to build the kingdom.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
What would happen if tomorrow everybody in here quit their job and showed up at church to work? Staff devotions just got bigger, but would that work? Not for very long. Why? Because, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, come payday, y'all be, hey, Pastor Dave. I'd be, everybody quit their job. I don't know what we're going to do here, you know. So we work together to advance the kingdom of God. And David, so tempting just to read past this and not really think, oh, wait a minute, God just told him he couldn't build a temple. And yet, he's bringing the resources together for this to happen. There was a brother who used to come here. I dearly loved him. He was just I thought he was an awesome guy. And he was in leadership, and all of a sudden, he quit giving. And this is back when we were small and I processed the stuff. And so I was aware of it. And so, you know, I came to him and I said, brother, what's going on? I don't understand. And he said, well, I don't like the way we're doing a couple of things. I said, what? Do you understand that's completely out of line? And I had this brother come to me and said, hey, I have a problem with this. We could have talked about it. But he almost used that as kind of an excuse to let himself off the hook in regards to giving. It's going to get really quiet in here. Friend, we always look for outs when it comes to giving financially. And it's real easy to say, well, I don't like this about that. And because I don't like this about that, now I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to biblically do. Friend, that doesn't let you off the hook. that does not let you off the hook. And here's the problem. In every church you ever go to, you can find something in there you don't like or don't agree with. And if you're using that to get off the hook in regards to giving, you're always going to be off the hook in regards to giving. See, this is not God's way of raising money. This is God's way of raising children. And does God want you to give away your money? No, He really doesn't. He wants you to give away your selfishness and your self-centeredness and your materialism. And this is why it's an issue. It's a discipleship issue. So, I mean, we see this. And so, again, David being the awesome example of not going, well, God, you know what? Here's all this stuff. I was going to give it to you, but you told me I couldn't build a temple. I didn't like that, so we're not doing it. It's not what he did. I'm humbled. I'm convicted by this attitude of David's. Verse 12. From Syria, from Moab, from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, from Amalek, and from the spoil of Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zodah. So again, all this stuff comes in, and you know, David wants to serve God in whatever way. David's not going, well, you know, if I'm not going to build the temple, I don't want to have anything to do with it. The reality is, you know what? Not only did David have the things to build a temple, he started putting the pieces together and designed the temple. He did everything but build it. And yet, historically, here's an interesting thing. What's that temple known as? Solomon's Temple. He let his son take the bow for it. But who really did the labor? David did. It's another telling thing if you're allowing other people to be the one to take the bow, if you will, for what you do behind the scenes. We got people, I mean, the media, the staff, all these, there's so many people behind the scenes, and yet I'm somehow, God has chosen me to be the guy to come out here and be the talking head, if you will. But man, there's so much energy behind the scenes, and I'm so thankful for the people that serve here. Verse 13, and David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. Valley of Salt is that place known as the Dead Sea now. He also put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servant, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So we have that phrase again. The Lord preserved David wherever he went. God preserved him. Now the word, the Hebrew word here for this English word preserved is the word yasha. And it doesn't mean just preserved. It also means saved in, saved by, saved through, also given the victory to. As a matter of fact, verse 14 in the Amplified, he put garrisons throughout all Edom, and all the Edomites became his servants, and the Lord preserved and gave the victory to him wherever he went. Gave him the victory and preserved him. That's what's in there. Wherever David went, God not only preserved him, but gave him the victory. Why is that important? Because you know what? A lot of believers, they're just thinking that preserved part. That's an important part. God is a keeping God. He is an awesome keeping God. But it's much more than that. And if you become the mindset of God's going to keep me, you know, and you run into Christians that have this mindset, how you doing? Oh, I'm holding on. What do you mean holding on? I just can't wait till all this is over and I get there. I'm just holding on till that moment in time. Is that the life abundant thing that Jesus was talking about? I don't think so. I think he wants to give you the victory and preserve you at the same time. Not just holding on till all this is over. Yeah, there's going to be days when that's what you got. That's what you're holding on to. But that shouldn't be the majority of the days. Why? Because let me ask you a question. And here's the rub. Did David in his battles look at his battles and think, okay, can I accomplish this and can me and my army accomplish this? Is that the way David approached these battles in life? No way. No way. Now, you may mistakenly think that as the army grows and they get more organized that David thought like that. Absolutely not. David never thought like that. You want a great example? Goliath. Do you actually think David looked at Goliath and thought, I'm a shepherd boy, I can take him? No. He didn't. He thought, you know what? Goliath is dishonoring God. I serve God. God's going to give me his head. Oh, man, if you can get this. Don't measure your ability in the battles by your abilities, but by God's abilities. Because there's going to be a lot of stuff that you come to in life and you're going to think, you know what? There's no way I can do this. And you'll be absolutely right. But God can do it. And if you're always looking at circumstances measured by your abilities, you're gonna live bummed out. What can God do? God can do everything. Well, there's a couple of theological things. He can't lie, okay? And I don't want to get into that. What can God do? God can do a lot of stuff. God is very powerful. God created the heavens and the earth. And when you come to His Son to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, guess what? The gates are open wide. God will now equip you and bless you and give you the strength to do things. And maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor David, where are you getting all this stuff? It's in the Bible. You see it in the life of David. I'll run through some verses. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Please notice, he who began the work in you is God. Who's going to finish it? He is. He started it. He's going to finish it. Philippians 2:12-13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That verse used to totally freak me out because I had people tell me that verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I thought, you know what? I've never done anything of any significance right, and you just told me I'm responsible for my own salvation. It was years before I read verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. It's God who puts in you the desire to do what's right. New Living Translation. Dearest friends, you were always so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. Man, God is at work in you. How would I know that? You're here. What an awesome thing. Jude 24. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Keep you from stumbling. Well, that's a tough verse. You go, well, why do I stumble? Well, that's when you take charge of your life. But when God's in charge and you're putting God first, you're never stumbling. You are never stumbling. Now, and here's another thing. Let me deal with this. Because a lot of time, pastors and teachers try to maintain to people that they should never stumble. I would love it if you never stumbled. I'd love it even more if I never stumbled. But I mean, the reality is, you're going to stumble. And you know what? I'm derelict in my duties if I don't... Boy, if you're new here, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I need to teach you to walk as a teacher, and I need to teach you what to do when you stumble. Because if I act like stumbling is something that should never happen and I never teach you what to do when you stumble, you will be overwhelmed. You'll think, you know what? Nobody ever told me this was going to happen. Nobody ever told me that I was going to have any problems. I thought when I came to Jesus, all my problems went away and I was never going to struggle with these emotions or these fears or these anxieties or anything like that. And now I'm struggling. Now I fell. What do I do? This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous man may fall 7 times. And rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Again, the New Living Translation says, they may trip 7 times, but each time they will rise again. But one calamity is enough to lay the wicked low. See, if you fall and don't get up, well, then you're not righteous. But if you keep getting up after you fall, the Bible says you're a righteous person. That blows our mind as far as being righteous, isn't it? Because we think righteous, you never stumble. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you're righteous, when you stumble, you get up again. You get up again. Incidentally, I like the New Living Translation. You'll hear me quote from the New Living Translation. Our New Believers Bibles are in the New Living Translation. I got an email, I hadn't talked about this in a while, but I study in a King James, I read from the New King James, and I look in the Amplified, New Living, I got about 14 different versions of the Bible, and I go through them on the computer. Which one do I like the most? I don't know. I've studied and read the King James for so long, I enjoy the poetry of it. There are some places where other versions are more accurate in the Hebrew sense of the word. So I'm definitely not a King James Version only person. Every version kind of has its strengths and its weaknesses. Here's the thing. God will keep you and God will give you the victory. That's the next life lesson. God will keep you and give you the victory.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer. Simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. and I've done wrong things. I have sinned, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience His shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.